Welcome to Zikhu Daf Siman Memor by Avram Goldar and Tehillim Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Samach Zayin, the fifth parak HaSocher of Poel. The Zikhu Masechet Avodah Zarah program has been dedicated L'Zecher Nishmas Rav Moshe Binyamin ben Rav Menachem Alav Hashalom and L'Zecher Nishmas his son Rav Menachem Avram ben Rav Moshe Binyamin Alav Hashalom. May the Neshamas have an Aliyah. So the three topics are going to focus on. Number one, Rish Lakish qualifies a permit of noisin tam with gam, a prohibited food which gives flavor to a mixture's detriment. Oshi yomer keder zo chaser melech, yaser melech. This does not apply where people say this pot of food is missing salt or it has too much salt. Chaser tavlin, yaser tavlin, or it has too little or too much spice, meaning if there are additional factors contributing to the detrimental flavor, it is not considered noisin tam with gam and remains forbidden. Rather, kol she'ein chaser klum, any mixture which is not missing anything, ve'ena ne'acheles mipnei zeh, and is not eaten, meaning it's less desirable only because of this forbidden flavor, is permitted as noisin tam of gum. In another version, Reish Lakish says the opposite, that in a case of noisin tam of gum, we do not suggest that the food has too little or too much salt or spice, and that proper seasoning would have offset the forbidden flavor, so would not harm the mixture. Rather, we say, hashta miha habakma. Now, in any event, it harms the flavor, and it's permitted. Point number two, Rabbi Yochanan said, kol shetamo mamasho aser velokin olav. Any mixture which includes both the forbidden food's flavor and substance is forbidden, and one incurs malchus for eating it. V'zehu kezayis b'chidei achilas pras. And this is where the halacha Moshe Misina applies, that one who eats an olives volume in the time required to eat a pras, which is half of a large loaf, enough for two meals, receives malchus. Rabbi Yochanan is teaching that this also applies to a prohibited food mixed into a permitted food. Tama v'lomamashal, if the mixture only includes the forbidden food's flavor, but not its substance, meaning melted chela fell into a pot of food, aser ve'en lokin olav, it's prohibited, but one does not incur malchus for eating it. Bimriba tam of gum, mutter. But if it added flavor that was to the mixture's detriment, it's permitted to eat. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yochanan used the expression added detrimental flavor instead of nasan, gave detrimental flavor, to teach that even though there are other things that harm the mixture's flavor with it, such as if the mixture has too little or too much salt, the mixture is still permitted. This teaches that the halacha follows the second version of Reish Lakish cited before. And point number three, a brisa records a machlokes about nosin tam of gum. Reb Meir says, echad nosin tam of gum, whether a forbidden food gives flavor to the mixture's detriment, v'echad nosin tam of shevach, or whether it gives flavor to its improvement, it's forbidden. Reb Shimon says that nosin tam of gum is permitted. Reb Meir derives his opinion from Giuli of the Chochavim, emissions of idolaters' kalim. The Torah required removing all forbidden flavor absorbed in kalim taken from Midian, although such flavors were nosin tam of gum, since they were presumably more than a day old. Reb Shimon would respond, Lasser Torah el kedera bas yoma. The Torah only prohibited a pot used that same day whose flavor is not detrimental. However, Rabbi Meir would counter, Kedera bas yoma nami efshar de la pagma purta. Even a pot used that day, it's impossible that it's not somewhat detrimental to the food cooked afterwards in it. Rabbi Shimon darshans the word nevela written near the word ger to teach, Koa ruyu la ger kruya nevela. Whatever is fit for a stranger to eat is called nevela. She'ein ruyu la ger ain't a kruya nevela. But whatever is not fit for a stranger to eat is not called nevela. Remer says this only refers to a nevela which was srucha miikara, rancid from the outset. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Reish Lakish qualifies the permit of nosin tam of gum, a prohibited food which gives flavor to a mixture's detriment. Oshi yomer keder zo chaser melech, yaser melech. This does not apply where people say this pot of food is missing salt or it has too much salt. Chaser tavlin, yaser tavlin, or it has too little or too much spice, meaning if there are additional factors contributing to the detrimental flavor, it is not considered nosin tam of gum and remains forbidden. Rather, kol she'ein chaser klum, any mixture which is not missing anything, ve'ena ne'acheles mipnei zeh, and is not eaten, meaning it's less desirable only because of this forbidden flavor, is permitted as noisin tam of gum. In another version, Reish Lakish says the opposite, that in a case of noisin tam of gum, we do not suggest that the food has too little or too much salt or spice, and that proper seasoning would have offset the forbidden flavor, so would not harm the mixture. Rather, we say, hashta miha habakma. Now, in any event, it harms the flavor, and it's permitted. Point number two, Rabbi Yochanan said, kol shetamo mamasho aser velokin olav. Any mixture which includes both the forbidden food's flavor and substance is forbidden, and one incurs malchus for eating it. V'zehu kezayis b'chidei achilas pras. And this is where the halacha Moshe Misina applies, that one who eats an olives volume in the time required to eat a pras, which is half of a large loaf, enough for two meals, receives malchus. Rabbi Yochanan is teaching that this also applies to a prohibited food mixed into a permitted food. Tama Baloma Mashal, if the mixture only includes the forbidden food's flavor, but not its substance, meaning melted chela fell into a pot of food, Asr Ve'en Lokin Lav, it's prohibited, but one does not incur malchus for eating it. Vimriba Tamuf Gum Mutter, but if it added flavor that was to the mixture's detriment, it's permitted to eat. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yochanan used the expression added detrimental flavor instead of nasan, gave detrimental flavor, to teach that even though there are other things that harm the mixture's flavor with it, such as if the mixture has too little or too much salt, the mixture is still permitted. This teaches that the halacha follows the second version of Reish Lakish cited before. And point number three, a Bryce records the machlokes about nosen tamuf gum. Reb Meir says, echad nosen tamuf gum, whether a forbidden food gives flavor to the mixture's detriment, the echad nosen tamuf shevach, or whether it gives flavor to its improvement, it's forbidden. Reb Shimon says that nosen tamuf gum is permitted. Reb Meir derives his opinion from Giuli of the Kochavim, emissions of idolaters' kalim. The Torah required removing all forbidden flavor absorbed in kalim taken from Midian, although such flavors were nosen tamuf gum, since they were presumably more than a day old. Reb Shimon would respond, L'asur Torah el kedera bas yoma, the Torah only prohibited a pot used that same day whose flavor is not detrimental. However, Rabbi Meir would counter, Kedera bas yoma nami efshar de la pagma purta. Even a pot used that day, it's impossible that it's not somewhat detrimental to the food cooked afterwards in it. Rabbi Shimon darshans the word nevela written near the word ger to teach, koa ruyu la ger kruya nevela. Whatever is fit for a stranger to eat is called nevela. She'ein ruyu la ger ain't a kruya nevela. But whatever is not fit for a stranger to eat is not called nevela. Remer says this only refers to a nevela which was srucha miikara, rancid from the outset. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Zayin, and this was suggested to us by Richard Berry from Passaic, as well as by Shalom Fried from Woodmere, New York. They both suggested that Samach Zayin is a sizzling barbecue. A sizzling barbecue, so here goes. At the Bachrim's barbecue, where one goy from the nearby grill spilled nosen tamuf gum isser into a pot that was not fully spiced, and nonetheless mutter, and another goy spilled melted chalev into a pot of beans, making them usser, with no malchus, the Bachrim at the picnic table realized the steaks were placed on the goy's plates and debated if there's a heter of nosen tamuf gum or not. Once again, slow motion. At the Bachrim's barbecue, that must be on Daf Samach Zayin, sizzling barbecue. At the Bachrim's barbecue, where one goy from the nearby grill spilled nosen tamuf gum isser into a pot that was not fully spiced, and nonetheless, mutter, which reminds us Reish Lakish qualifies a permit of nosen tamuf gum. This does not apply where people say the pot of food is missing salt or has too much salt, or has too little or too much spice, meaning if there are additional factors contributing to the detrimental flavor, it is not considered nosen tamuf gum and remains forbidden. Rather, kol she'ein chasera klum, any mixture which is not missing anything, ve'ena ne'achelas mifnei zeh, and is not eaten, meaning it's less desirable only because of this forbidden flavor, is permitted as nosen tamuf gum. The Gemara brings another version of Reish Lakish. So at the Bachrim's barbecue, where one goy from the nearby grill spilled nosen tamuf gum isser into a pot that was not fully spiced, and nonetheless mutter, and another goy spilled melted chalev into a pot of beans, making them usser, with no malchus, which reminds us, if a mixture only includes the forbidden food's flavor, but not the substance, meaning melted chalev fell into a pot of food, usser ve'en lokin lav, it's prohibited, but one does not incur malchus for eating it. So at the Bachrim's barbecue, where one goy from the nearby grill spilled nosen tamuf gum isser into a pot that was not fully spiced, and nonetheless mutter, and another goy spilled melted chalev into a pot of beans, making them usser with no malchus, the Bachrim at the picnic table realized the steaks were placed on a goy's plates and debated if there's a heter of nosen tamuf gum or not, which reminds us, our Bryce records a machlokas about nosen tamuf gum. Reb Meir says, echad nosen tamuf gum, whether a forbidden food gives flavor to the mixture's detriment, echad nosen tamuf shevach, or whether it gives flavor to its improvement, it's forbidden. Rabbi Shimon says, nosen tamuf gum is permitted. Reb Meir derives his opinion from Geuli of the Kochavim, the emissions of idolaters' kalim. The Torah required removing all forbidden flavor absorbed in utensils taken from Midian, although such flavors were nosen tamuf gum, since presumably there was more than one day old. Rabbi Shimon would respond, L'asur Torah el kedera bas yoma, the Torah only prohibited a pot used that same day whose flavor is not detrimental. However, Rabbi Meir would counter, kedera bas yoma nami yefshar de la pagma purta, even a pot used that day, it's impossible that it's not somewhat detrimental to the food cooked afterwards in it. So once again, at the Bachrim's barbecue, where one goy from the nearby grill spilled nosen tamuf gum isser into a pot that was not fully spiced, and nonetheless mutter, and another goy spilled melted chalev into a pot of beans, making them usser, with no malchus. The bachrim at the picnic table realized the steaks were placed on a goy's plates and debated if there's a heter of nos and tum of gum or not. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf Samech Gimel. So the Simran Daf Samech Gimel is a segue. So here goes. The Esnan sent early on a segue. Segue? That must mean we're on Daf Samech Gimel. The Esnan sent early on a segue with a note, if you need it earlier to be used as a carbon, acquire it from now, which reminds us the more it discusses an Esnan given before relations where it's permitted as a carbon. So the Esnan sent early on a segue with a note, if you need it earlier to be used as a carbon, acquire it from now, followed by another Esnan on a segue with a note, sorry, it's 3 years late, and prohibit it as a carbon, which reminds us, a brisa states that even if one only gave an Esnan 3 years later, the Esnan is prohibited as a carbon. Rav Chista explained that an Esnan is disqualified if he said, have relations with me for this lamb. Since he designated it, it's an Esnan even if he gave it afterwards. If he said, have relations with me for a lamb, without designating a specific lamb, it's a valid carbon because she does not acquire anything until she receives it after the relations, and it's not considered payment for relations. So the Esnan sent early on a segue with a note, if you need it earlier to be used as a carbon, acquire it from now, followed by another Esnan on a segue with a note, sorry, it's 3 years late, and prohibit it as a carbon. Past a shop where the employer was telling his employees to go out and eat, and it will pay for it as their wages. Well, his rabbi told him he should be concerned. They may purchase Shemitah produce, which reminds us. A brisa teaches that although one may pay his workers without concern, they'll buy Shemitah or Maisa produce with it. If he told them, go out and eat and I'll pay for it as your wages, he does have to be concerned they may purchase forbidden food. This proves that when he later pays the May Isser Kapara, he's paying forbidden money, meaning the money paid is considered an exchange for Shemitah produce and therefore cannot be given to a Nama Aretz storekeeper. Daf Samech Dalet. So the Simmer Daf Samech Dalet is a secret agent. So here goes. The Jewish secret agent. Secret agent? That must be more Daf Samech Dalet, Sod. The Jewish secret agent hired by an Akum to find and smash the barrels of Yain Nesech, who hoped they would stay whole, until he found them, which reminds us, a question was posed on the previous daf, Schar Lishbor B'Yain Nesech. If an Akum hired a Jew to smash barrels containing Yain Nesech to destroy it, are such wages permitted? Do we say Kevin derotz b'kiyumo, since he wants the wine's continued existence so he can be paid to destroy it, his wages are forbidden? Or do we say anything to diminish idolatry is permitted? Rav Nachman answered, Yishbor b'tavo olav bracha. He should break the barrels and a blessing should come upon him. So the Jewish secret agent hired by an Akum to find and smash the barrels of Yain Nesech, who hoped they would stay whole, until he found them, spied on a goy who sold his idol to pay back a debt, owed to a Yid, which reminds us, a brisa taught that if an Akum owed a Jew money and sold his idol or Yain Nesach, the Jew may accept the proceeds of the sale. This proves that the sold idol does not prohibit the money paid for it to an Akum. So, the Jewish secret agent hired by an Akum to bind and smash the barrels of Yain Nesach, who hoped they would stay whole, until he found them, spied on a goy who sold his idol to pay back a debt, owed to a Yid, who was telling a Ger Toshav that he can't nullify an idol, which reminds us, another question was asked. Ger Toshav, Moshe Yabato Avodos Kochavim, can a Ger Toshav be Mavato, an idol? Do we say one who worships idols can nullify them, but one who does not worship cannot nullify? Or do we say anyone of an idolater's kind can nullify? And since a Ger Toshav is of an Akum's kind, since he doesn't keep all the mitzvahs, he can nullify idols. As part of the discussion, the Gemara brings three different definitions of a Ger Toshav. Daf Samech Hei. So the Siman Daf Samech Hei is sheep, and we often use a shepherd in the Siman. So here goes. The shepherd using a sheep. Shepherd, sheep. That must be more on Daf Samech Hei. The shepherd using a sheep to transport 100 barrels of wine for 100 prutos, where one barrel was Yain Nesach, which reminds us, Menachem said to a Jew, transport for me 100 barrels for 100 prutos, where all 100 barrels must be transferred for the wages to be earned. If one barrel contains Yain Nesach, all the wages are prohibited. If he said, transport for me each barrel for a pruta, so even if he transports a barrel of Yain Nesach, the remaining wages are unaffected. So the shepherd using a sheep to transport 100 barrels of wine for 100 prutos, where one barrel was Yain Nesach, saw his sheep trip and spill some Yain Nesach on some grapes, which the grape owner began to wash off, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Yain Nesach shenafal gabi anavim. If Yain Nesach fell into grapes, yadichon vehen mutaros, he washes them off and they're permitted because no wine was absorbed into the grapes. However, if they're cracked, they're forbidden because the wine seeped through the cracks and washing them does not remove all the wine. So the shepherd using a sheep to transport 100 barrels of wine for 100 prutos, where one barrel was yain nesach, saw a sheep trip and spill some yain nesach on some grapes, which the grape owner began to wash off, while Rabbi told the yid whose wheat the wine landed on to grind it and bake it into bread to sell to an akum, not in the presence of another Jew. Which reminds us, in the case where yain nesach once spilled onto a pile of wheat, Rabbi permitted the Jew to first grind the wheat and bake it as bread, and then sell it to an akum, because a Jew would not purchase bread from an akum. Daf samach vav. So the siman daf samach vav is sewing, and we often use a tailor in the siman. So here goes. The tailor sewing. Tailor sewing? That must more on daf samach vav. The tailor sewing basar tama and basar shma tags, with the two rabbis debating a case of new wine yesach that fell into grapes, which reminds us, regarding chamra chadusa ba'anve, new wine mixed in grapes. Abai holds basar tama azlinan. We follow the flavor when classifying elements. Since new wine and grapes taste the same, they're considered min b'mino, so even a mashu of wine prohibits the grapes. Rava holds basar shma azlinan. We follow the name of the items, and since they have different names, wine and grapes, they're considered min b'she'eno mino, and only prohibit benois and tam. So the tailor sewing basar tam and basar shma tags with two rabbis debating a case of new yain nesach that fell into grapes, knocked over a jug of wine which fell into a barrel of vinegar, changing its smell, which reminds us, if forbidden wine fell into vinegar, the wine smell changes to that of vinegar when it entered the vinegar's airspace before mixing into the wine. In this case, Abai says the vinegar is prohibited with a mashu of wine because he holds recho chala v'tama chamra chala. Wine whose smell is vinegar and flavor is wine is considered vinegar, so it's considered min b'mino with the actual vinegar. Rava says the vinegar is prohibited by noisin tam because he holds recho chala v'tama chamra chamra. Wine whose smell is vinegar and flavor is wine is considered wine, so it's considered min b'sheino mino with the vinegar. So the tailor sewing basar tama and basar shma tags with the two rabbis debating a case of new wine yain nesach that fell into grapes, knocked over a jug of wine which fell into a barrel of vinegar, changing its smell. When he warned his son not to place hot bread on a barrel of truma wine because recha milsihi, which reminds us, a Mishnah states, haroda pas chama, if one removes hot bread from an oven, but nasna pichavi shel yain shel truma, and put it onto a barrel of truma wine, Remer prohibits the bread to be consumed by a non-kohen because the bread absorbed the aroma of truma, and Rabbi Yehuda permits it. Rabbi Meir clearly holds recha milsihi, like Abaya, and Rabbi Yehuda appears to hold recha lav milsihi, like Rava. Alright, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Which daf do you discuss the case where forbidden wine fell into vinegar and the wine smell changes, and whether to go after the flavor or the smell to determine min b'mino? That's on daf samach vav. Good. Number 2. Which daf do Malchus regarding nosim tam of gum and nosim tam of shavach, and Rabbi Meir's opinion, which is derived from Gilui of the Chochavim, the Kalim from Midian? That's on daf samach zayin. Good. Number 3. Which daf to discuss what the din is for wages for transporting wine barrels for an akum, where one contained yain nesach? That's on daf samachay. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you learn if yain nesach fell into grapes, he washes them off and they're permitted because no wine was absorbed into the grapes? That's on daf samachay. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you discuss paying employees through a storekeeper selling possibly shemitah produce? That's on daf samach gimel. Good. Number 6. Which daf do you discuss storing wine with an akum who's not the owner of the wine, and whether a chayshin legomlin? That's on daf samach aleph. Good. Number 7. Which daf do you learn that if a mixture only includes a forbidden food's flavor but not its substance, such as melted chalav that fell into a pot of food, it's prohibited but one does not incur malchus for it? That's on daf samach zayin. Good. Number 8. Which daf do you learn that it was mutter for people to borrow shemitah produce and repay with eighth year produce? That's on daf samach beis. Good. Number 9. Which daf to discuss what the din is regarding nos and tum of gum if the pot of food is missing salt or is too much salt? That's on daf samach zayin. Number 10. Which daf do you discuss whether we go basar tama or basar shma for determining min b'mino? That's on daf samach vav. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.